Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa, and by the Lord's gracious will, I am blessed to look to Him today in the worship of His great name as I teach and preach the Word of God. It is also my great blessing to meet in fellowship with you, dear Christian listener. Friends, you can learn more about our ministry, Mission Africa, at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. We continue in Ephesians chapter 6 in the last two verses of this glorious book. That's Ephesians 6, 23 and 24, which read, in the New King James Version, the Holy Bible, peace to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Dear friends, let us pray. Thank you for your precious word, your grace that comes to us through the word of God, dear Lord. Thank you, Father, for your great love to send your Son to die as the propitiation for the sins of your people, and that you bring us into your very presence, into the kingdom of God's love, an eternal and vast and glorious, infinitely blessed kingdom. Thank you for your love for us, Father, which has saved us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed God and Savior. And we give him glory and praise this day. It's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. Last Lord's Day, we ended the sermon with thoughts about love with faith. And we said that faith, that is a simple trust in God, unites us to Christ, and through Christ, we are united to God who loves us. The Father loves us. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Divine Son, loves us. And so it makes the greatest sense for a person to put their trust in God who loves men and who saves men in his marvelous grace, who declares to men his great salvation, which is based upon his infinitely great love for men. And for God's glory and for our blessing and help, we looked at verses in 1 John chapter 4, that's verses 7 through 11, which speak so clearly of this awesome love. Those glorious verses tell us that Christians are called the beloved of God, and that because God is love, God calls us to love one another. Because everyone who is born again, who is born of God and knows God, loves others, especially dear Christian brothers and sisters in God's love. John teaches that the man who does not love in this sense, in the saving, glorious love of God, does not know God, because God is love, a statement of his essential nature. God loves in his heart of hearts. And John teaches us that God has manifested his love for people. The love of God has been manifested toward us, revealed to us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this revelation that has been manifested is that God has loved us to send his only begotten Son, his one and only Son, who is fully God with him, into this world of lost men, that men might live through him, that we who believe in him, who have received his saving love, will live forever. John teaches that this is love, not that we first loved God. No, that is quite impossible, because we did not love God apart from God's love for us. He first loved us, and he manifests his love for us. He manifests his love for a world of sinners, and that he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to become a fiery holocaust, a sacrifice in blood for the sins of the world, for the sins of God's people. John leads us to understand that because of God's nature, because He loved us in this way, we are bound by our trust in God to love others also, and to particularly love one another who share the same Spirit with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, a Spirit of love. So when Paul asks of God and blesses the Ephesians with love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the awesome love that he is talking about. In 1 John chapter 4, in verses 12 through 16, John, the beloved apostle, we might call him the apostle of love, has written, "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Here again we see that John teaches a great deal about God who is love and about his love for his people and how this spiritual love transforms his people. I remember hearing about the love of God for me, a sinner, when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I was touched at the time when I first heard of the love of God for me. And I enjoyed what I heard, and I believed in my childish way that indeed God did love me. I didn't trust him at that time. I didn't trust him till many, many long years later. It would have been the greatest wisdom and my great blessing to have trusted him at the age of 5 or 6 when I first heard his gospel. I did not. But I was helped to know that God loves me. But the love that is spoken of in these verses by the apostle of love, the apostle John, is the salvific, that is the saving love that is revealed by the Spirit of God to those who believe in the Son of God. And this love, we could call it a truly spiritual love, is known only and believed in only by those who are born again, by those that God, in his salvific love, has saved and revealed his heart to. John says in verse 12 that no one has seen God at any time. He is the invisible God, as the Bible declares. It is not possible for a man to see God and survive. No one has seen God at any time, but John says, if we love one another, this great, true, and living God, the invisible God, the infinitely great God, actually comes to dwell in us and to continue to dwell in us. John says, if we as believers love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. That is, it has been completed. We have been so completely transformed by the love of God that we have come to completely love others. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't sin. We do indeed sin. We will never be perfect and free of sinning in this world. But it does mean that God has done a complete work of renewing us by the Holy Spirit so that we come, because we have truly loved him, to truly love others who have his Spirit. We see that God remains in us in this as we love one another. John continues that we remain in him and he remains in us. Glorious thought. He didn't come to abide for a while, a short season, and leave, but God came to remain in us. and he has brought us to remain in him through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has given us of his Spirit. God remains in us because his Spirit remains in us, and we remain in God because his Spirit has been given to us and his Spirit abides in us. So that we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Now, that verse is of particular importance in reference to the Apostle John's life and testimony. He begins this book by saying that we, that is, those who were alive at the time who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, had actually seen him, had touched him. They ate with him. They lived with him. And yet this is also relative to us today who have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ or the invisible God, in that we have seen him by faith. And as John saw with his own eyes the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who lived with him and who was crucified and who was buried and who rose again, John saw him alive from death, the death of the bloody cross. John testified that this is the true God, the only and true living God, and that the true God has sent his very own Son, and that his Son is the Savior of the world of men. So it is that we who believe today too, who have not seen God, who have not seen Christ, also testify, because we believe in God, we are blessed that the Father has sent the Son, and that salvation is only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is that the man who believes confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, and God remains in him, and he remains in God. So that John concludes this section of verses with the glorious truth that we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Salvifically, this spiritual love has been revealed to us. We have come to know it. We have come to experience it. We believe it. We believe in him, God, who has loved us. And that God loves us, he is love. And that the man who abides in love, this supernatural love of God for his people, abides in God and God in him. Notice the great thrust of these verses, and that is that the love of God, a spiritual love that God has for his elect people, leads and brings them to actually remain in God, that God remains in them, that God is love, the essence of his nature, if you will, so that those that God remains in, that he dwells in, abides in, also become loving and have a dear and true love for others. This is a great test of our profession of faith, because the man who has truly been born again of God truly comes to love his brothers and sisters in this supernatural love, in this spiritual love. John also writes of the glorious love of God that saves God's people in verses 17 through 19 of 1 John chapter 4. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Once again, for God's glory and for our great help and encouragement for our edification today, that we might enjoy the God who is love and his love for us, we see that John teaches a most important truth here about the love of God for God's people. And that is that God's salvific love, his supernatural love, his spiritual love, if you will, that the elect of God have received from him because the Spirit of God abides in them is of such a nature that in this spiritual love of God, Christians may have such assurance of the love of God and of their salvation that they come to perfectly love God and not fear torment, which speaks of the truth that they are absolutely assured of God's love for them and of his work to save them, that they do not doubt that God has saved them, that they are his, and that they love him now and will continue to love him for all eternity in his presence. They have an assurance of their salvation, such an assurance that they are not tormented by the fear that they are deceived, that they may be damned finally. This is such a wonderfully important statement. This is such a wonderfully important truth, that a Christian's love has been so completed that they may gladly face death and the day of judgment because they know certainly that God has loved them, and they know certainly that God has saved them. They have a high degree of the assurance of their salvation because the love of God has been perfected in them in this way. I should mention at this point that not every Christian has this high degree of assurance of their salvation, but this degree of assurance of salvation is something that Christians can enjoy. I believe that's the real thrust of this text. There are a few reasons why Christians do not have this assurance of salvation. One is the great problem of their continuing sin. We see sin in us. We see it working in us. We see it in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts and desires and intentions. And we are greatly troubled knowing that God is a great and holy God who judges sin. And so true Christians can become, in a sense, blinded to the saving love of God that they also enjoy when they see their sinfulness. This happens because they become self-focused. Or a Christian may look at the world and see the great misery and distress in the world and also be troubled, and once again have the wrong focus, seeing the world in its great distress and experiencing that great distress because the Christian is in the world still, and yet failing to look to God by faith to see and know again that the love of God has been perfected in them, completed in them. So because we look to sin within and we look at sin and distress in the world and we fail to look to Christ and the love of God in Christ, we struggle and disbelieve in a measure that God has loved us and has saved us from our sins. We doubt our salvation. But wonderfully, we are helped and encouraged, comforted by these verses, that because of the nature of God's love for us, that his love has been completed in us. He has saved us. He has justified us. He has sanctified us. We are being sanctified. He will glorify us. We are glorified in a real sense. We are fully God's now. He has perfected his love in us so that we are assured of our salvation and we may live boldly without the fear of condemnation. And we may look forward to our passing with boldness, knowing that in the day of judgment we are justified, we are acquitted of our sins, we are accepted in Christ, we are now and we shall be then, and that is because Jesus has transformed us. We are yet in the world, but he has made us to be like him. So love is perfected, completed among us. We have assurance of salvation because we truly love others as he has come to love us. John says, In this love, there is no fear of condemnation, but this completed love, in a full assurance of our salvation, we have a love that casts out fear. There is no torment in the consideration that God will finally damn us. That torment has ended because the love of God has so fully impacted our hearts and our minds, our understanding, our being, our wills, all that we are, so that we have come to truly love. This is the great birthmark, probably the primary birthmark of a true Christian believer. He is a man who has come to love God and love his brother and sister with the special love of Jesus, and to love all others, yes, even his enemy. John teaches us that the man who doubts his salvation has a measure of torment, and that the man who fears that God has loved him to save him has not yet been made perfect or completed in love. He yet has doubts, he has fears, he's not enjoying this love of God which can be perfected and completed so that he has a full assurance of salvation. But true believers have a true love for God and for other believers and for their neighbor because God has first loved them. John then instructs us that if we say that we love God but hate our brother, our neighbor that we can see, how can the love of God be in us? How can we say, I love God that I have never seen, I can't see now, and hate my brother that I can see now? Finally, in our consideration of God's great love for us today, we see that John teaches in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, that he who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and that everyone who loves him is born of God and loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. How wonderful it is to be born again, to be born of God. If you are troubled often with the thoughts that you may lose your salvation, if you are truly born again, let me encourage you that the teaching that you may lose your salvation is quite contrary to these verses in Scripture that we've looked at today, and quite contrary to Scripture as a whole. It is not a true teaching. If a man is truly born again, he is loved by God. He is eternally saved. He is eternally secure in the love of God. The Bible also teaches quite clearly that the man who is born again will be made holy. Not perfect. He will still have much sin. He will still have a great struggle with sin. But he will overcome his sins. He overcomes the world by faith. So, true believers are loved of God, eternally secure in the love of God. They come into a practical life of righteousness and faithful obedience to God. Not a perfect life without sin. They do sin, but they confess their sins. They repent constantly, turning from sin. They fight against sin. And this is the victory, that they overcome the world as they fight and resist sin, and in a great measure, turn from sinning in their lives. This describes the man who has come to love God and to love his brothers and sisters in the love of Christ. Let me encourage you to hold to the truth that is greatly comforting, that all who believe are eternally secure, all who truly believe are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, and live by the powerful grace of God in the love of God in such a way that you daily turn from your sins, deny yourselves, take up your cross, fight against the sin that yet remains in you, that remains in the world, and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in purity as you confess your sins and turn from them. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you will enjoy fellowship with God in his deep, deep love that surpasses our understanding. Another comforting thought, a truth I believe that these verses also speak about, is that sincere love is a love a Christian has for God and for others that is not pretended. The man who pretends knows he is pretending, but the man who loves without pretension loves sincerely. And so if you can honestly say before God today, I sincerely, without pretension, love God and seek to walk in holiness with my God who has loved me and saved me through the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, then you can enjoy the comfort of knowing you have the love that God gives to those who are truly saved from their sins. Simply, sincerity is tested in this way. The truly sincere person is not willfully deceiving himself or others. He is not deceiving himself at all, as the hypocrite does and as the pretender does. He is not a pretender. He is sincere and true in his faith and in his love for God. Friends, our time is gone for today. We'll continue at this point next Lord's Day morning. Once again today, we have been talking about faith with love from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your word. How wonderful it is, Lord, such a depth of truth, such great truth, and how we need your truth to hold to you and to believe in you, that you love us, that you have saved us from our sins in this great fight of faith in which each one of us are engaged in. Lord, sometimes we are very weak and we fight so poorly and we believe lies and deceptions, but help us, strengthen us, purify our faith. Help us to know much more fully and completely that you love us, your elect people, and that you've given us your love so that we really are transformed. And love has been perfected in this, that we have come to truly, sincerely love you and truly and sincerely love our neighbor, especially your dear children. Thank you, Lord. How precious and priceless is the gift of your word, which teaches us such treasures. We bless you and we give you praise. Thank you for your people. Bless them today in the deep love of God. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.